Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle. I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the grapes check, too, okay? Because we'll get the bunch on 3rd and short. Even 51 grapes. Even 51 grapes.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast read over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go, let's go.
Welcome inside the playbook. It's Super Bowl week. It's finally here. Super Bowl 46, Indianapolis, Indiana. It'll be Sunday afternoon. It'll be about 6:20, the kickoff, Eastern time, and the Patriots have the hated New York Giants. I'm John Rook. We're glad you're here with us. This is special programming this week, of course, here on Patriots.com radio, as you heard the PFW guys live from Indy and Radio Row, and myself and Pete Shepard coming up at 4 o'clock Eastern time. We'll be here at Gillette Stadium. Big Matt's taking care of us back here in the studios, and we've got a kind of an overview of everything that's gone on in Indy today. For those that may be tuned in who are regular listeners to our programming here, if you missed any of the key moments, at least in our estimation, the key moments during media day today when the Patriots were up being interviewed by the masses there inside Lucas Oil Stadium. We have some of the media day interviews for you here inside the playbook this afternoon, and we'll bring you some of that news. We also have coming up in approximately 20 minutes, Bob Papa, the radio play-by-play voice of the New York Giants, will join us inside the playbook to get his, you know, take, his expertise, his thoughts on, in effect, what is a rematch in more than just one way. We're talking about the rematch of quote-unquote Super Bowl 42 from 4 years ago, and I think we realize there really aren't enough players on both rosters to make this a viable rematch in the truest sense of the word. What, 9 Patriots, I think 15 Giants. But at the same time, it is still a rematch, because these two teams played back during the regular season. In fact, it was just 11 games ago. And the Giants dealt the Patriots their only loss here at Gillette this season in a 23-20 win.
And their last loss.
And their last loss before they ripped off 10 in a row here. So it is a rematch. And I think one thing that, you know, at least by my early observation of the national media, that one thing that seems to be forgotten is the fact that when you have an opportunity for a rematch from the Patriots' point of view, generally speaking, Bill Belichick and Tom Brady and this entire team are ready. And I think that's the one thing that has sort of not really been paid attention to yet. It may be before the year, before this week is over with. But I do get the feeling that this is going to be a key factor. And because of that, I think that's part of the reason why, at least in the first couple of days since, you know, the Patriots left here and the in excess of 25,000 fans sent them off here at the Gillette Stadium party on Sunday, I think this is part of the reason why you're seeing a much more relaxed Bill Belichick. He's cracked a few jokes.
Oh, I can't wait.
He can't wait. We've seen a relaxed Tom Brady up at the podium. We've seen guys who appear, you know, infinitely confident, even though defensively this team has certainly taken its lumps this year, and perhaps rightfully so. I think these guys have a game plan in mind. I think they know exactly what they need to do to beat the Giants, and I think it's all a matter of execution. That's all it is. They've just got to go out and execute. They execute the game plan, the Patriots feel like they'll win. Now, conversely, if the Giants execute their game plan, I know they feel supremely confident in their ability to win because they have a win over the Patriots from earlier this year. So, more so than looking back at, you know, 2 weeks ago in the AFC Championship against Baltimore, certainly more so than looking back at the 17-14 loss in Arizona to the Giants in Super Bowl 42, I think what we have to look back at is really kind of what happened to these two teams earlier this season. And yet, both teams' coaches, both Bill Belichick and Tom Coughlin earlier today saying that really both teams have changed since that point in time.
They didn't have Bradshaw or Nix in that game.
Nope.
And we still had Albert Haynesworth.
Right.
And crazy. I think you know, it hasn't gone unnoticed that the Patriots are undefeated since Albert Haynesworth was dismissed from the team.
And Tampa hasn't won a game.
That's also very true, by the way. Good luck with that, Greg Schiano. So, really, you can look back at that Sunday game in November on the 6th and a 24-20. It was thinking Baltimore in the brain here. That 24-20 win for the Giants, and it was an unbelievable, fast-paced, flying finish to the ball game. I mean, the Patriots looked like they had that sucker won. They're down 17-13, come back and score 20-17, and then, of course, we all know what happened at the very end of the game, and Giants win with just seconds to play.
That game was so eerily similar to Super Bowl 42.
It was, and I remember our talking about that in the aftermath as well. In our playbook programming and our Patriots.com radio programming in the aftermath of that game this season, because there were some eerie similarities to what happened in Super 42 in the way that the game kind of like chugged along until the very end. And I'd be a little surprised if the game this Sunday turns out to be the same way. Right now on Tuesday here, and again, we're still 5 days away from kickoff, but my early impression and my early thoughts are that while I don't disagree with the thought that this could be a high-scoring game because of the fact that you got two teams that, you know, you got two quarterbacks, first of all, that were record-setting in their own rights, you know, two quarterbacks combined for more than 10,000 yards passing this year, which is unprecedented in Super Bowl history. You have two pass defenses as well that were in the bottom third of the league in yards allowed. It certainly sounds like it could be made for a shootout, and when you add to that, you know, the confined conditions of a dome inside Lucas Oil Stadium where the elements certainly will not be a factor at all, you'd have to say, sure, you could see this team, you could see this game running up 35-31, 38-35, 42-38, you could see that. And if it happens, I'm not going to be shocked. But here's kind of what I'm thinking right now. And again, this could change. I'm going to allow myself an opportunity to change this thought depending on what happens between now and, say, Thursday when we're here. So over the next couple of days, we'll see how this prognosis changes.
Real early prediction right now.
An early prediction.
Don't take this one to the bank.
No, don't take this to the bank because I'm not going to give you a score on who I think is going to win. And in all honesty, and I'll be honest with you, man, I'm going to be honest with our entire listening audience today, I have not made up my mind on who I think will win this game. I like the 3-point spread. Like others, I'm a little surprised, or 2.5. I think it's back up to 3 now, last I saw. I know it shrunk to 2.5. I think it got down to 2 briefly before a lot of money came in on the Giants, and that's one of the things I want to talk about here today. But quite frankly, it's going to fluctuate, I think, throughout the course of the week. And my early thoughts in the game are is that because this is the game, this is the penultimate game. No, this is the ultimate game. Okay? Forget penultimate. It's ultimate. It's the game. And as far as the National Football League, as far as football is concerned, maybe as far as all of our professional sports in the United States of America are concerned, you could make the argument this is the game on the calendar year. Save for maybe the 7th game of the World Series. Maybe.
I'll take the Super Bowl.
Well, I would too, to be honest with you. That's my thought. And that's another question I'd love to ask. We'll go ahead and ask it. What is the ultimate game in your estimation? Is it the Super Bowl, Game 7 World Series, Game 7 Stanley Cup, Game 7 NBA? Is it the Indy 500 or, you know, I mean, I'm just asking. What is the ultimate sporting event in the United States? And what should it be? If you have some thoughts, webradio@patriots.com. Send us the email. If you want to call us, the Ace Ticket Hotline is open, 508-298-0398. Facebook page is open as well. Find me on Facebook, John Rook, R-O-O-K-E, the last name. Submit the friend request. If you haven't done it throughout the season, you can do it now. Then you can post. We can chat. You can message, whatever you like. But not only during the programming, we can also do it during off hours as well. Whenever I'm online, you see me, pop on and say hello. We can talk a little football if we got the time to do that. And then you can follow me on Twitter, at jrook0722. That's J-R-O-O-K-E 0722. That's the Twitter page, Twitter address. So there are many different ways you can get in touch with us here on the program. Now, back to the point. I'm thinking that because this is such a big game, and to me it is the ultimate game, that there's just an inert pressure that are on these players. I don't see anybody just, you know, pinning their ears back, so to speak, and going out and gunslinging, at least initially. I think teams have a tendency to be cautious, unless, of course, you're shooting from the hip because you feel like you have nothing to lose. And I think both of these teams feel like you have everything to lose now. Both of these teams feel like they should be favored. Because of that, I think this game probably starts out somewhat conservatively. I think both teams will try to run the ball because I think both teams know the other team can pass on them. I think both teams will try to run a little. And when they try to run, that's going to chew up a little time. I don't disagree with the thought process that maybe the Giants try to use their big, powerful running game against the Patriots to keep the ball out of Brady and the Patriots offense's hands. And at the same time, I think the Patriots don't necessarily disagree with the fact that, hey, as long as we've got the ball, that's less time for Eli Manning and his offense to do damage with their talented receiving core. Because of that, I think you'll see both teams try to run the ball a little bit. Now, again, that's just my early thought. So because of that, I think maybe that takes two or three possessions in the game away from both sides, potentially. And right now, I'm aiming toward roughly mid-20s in this game. Not necessarily mid to upper 20s, not necessarily 30s, not necessarily, you know, like a 21-17 game as it seems like games turn out to be. But, hey, let's remember back in Super 42, everybody thought that would be a shootout. Patriots would run up 40 big ones on the Giants. It'd all be over early, and it was 17-14. And the Patriots had arguably the best offense that anybody's ever seen that year. So, and this offense is close. Brady threw for more yards. They don't have quite the home run capability, I don't think, that they had, you know, with Randy Moss back then in Super 42. The Giants also don't have, you know, Mr. One Hit Wonder and David Tyree.
They don't have both. I think it's interesting, the running games, because you have to look. The Patriots' defensive strength is stopping the run, regardless of what's happened recently. And the Giants, their strength is getting after the quarterback. So you're looking at both teams, and they kind of have to approach it carefully, because if you go and you decide we're going to try to run, and then say Eli Manning comes out shooting from the hip, could find ourselves down 14-0 early trying to run on that team.
Right. Well, I'm thinking somewhere along the lines of about 27-23 right now is about what I'm kind of looking at. I may increase that. And I may decrease it. And I really have not decided who gets the 27 yet. I think I'm like everybody else, to be quite honest with you, Matt. I'm like everybody else here. I want to see how healthy Rob Gronkowski is. And I think that's a huge factor in this game.
I want to see how much Matt Light practices.
Matt Light.
If this is a bad flu, that could really affect
They're keeping him away from everybody right now. He did not attend Media Day today. And by the way, we're going to hear from Rob Gronkowski in Media Day coming up here in just a couple moments. If you didn't get a chance to hear it or even watch it on the networks today, we'll have some excerpts from Rob's interviews today in just a couple of moments. But I'm thinking, you know, we've heard if he can come back with any kind of regularity and play with any kind of, force, then I think the Patriots certainly have every reason to think that, you know, they deserve their 3-point, you know, favoritism, and they probably are on the plus side. Now, if he doesn't play, I think that takes away a huge weapon. If Matt Light doesn't play, that really makes the play of the offensive line key. Dante Scarnecchia said earlier today that Sebastian Vollmer will play in the game. If you hadn't heard that, that's the key. And, of course, he's missed, the last 7 games, I believe, with his various back injuries and foot injuries. I don't think he's going to start because Nate Solder certainly has earned that opportunity on the right side. But what you have now is you have four guys that can rotate in amongst the two positions at both tackles when you throw Marcus Cannon into the mix. Somebody obviously has to be, you know, inactive for the game. You can't forget those rules like during the regular season, but conceivably, those are good choices to make. I don't know how much he'll play, but that means you can rotate fresh bodies in on the giant front four. Regardless of whether or not Gronk plays, and I certainly believe that he will. The boot was off today, by the way, and you'll hear more coming up in just a couple of moments. Regardless of whether he plays, this game is going to be won or lost because of the trenches. I'm talking about the Patriots offensive line versus the Giants defensive line, and I'm going to flip it to the other side as well. It is the Giants offensive line against the Patriots defensive line. Eli Manning got beat up pretty strong by the 49ers, got sacked 6 times in the NFC Championship game, and yet the Giants won the game. But you can certainly make the case for the Giants winning the game in the same fashion as the Patriots winning their game because of opposition mistakes. Yet somehow both of these teams found a way to win their respective conference games. And Manning did get hammered. Can the Patriots put enough pressure on Eli Manning to force him to be uncomfortable in the pocket and get him to move? And one of the things he has done much better lately is moving out of the pocket. I think the Patriots have to devise a way to make certain that one of those guys at the very least doesn't beat you, whether it's Cruz, whether it's Manningham, whether it's Nix. I think you have to figure out a way to make sure one of those guys does not beat you. Somebody's going to get some double coverage. I think Cruz being the bigger of the big play guys, even though the other two guys are more physical receivers than Cruz, I think the Patriots find a way to take Cruz out. I think he's probably going to be their focus. And they're going to make the other guys try to do it. That's just, again, a hunch on my part. That's kind of what I would look at. Conversely, the Giants most likely going to figure out a way to take out, I don't know who they take out, but I'm guessing they're going to feel somewhat confident because Gronkowski, if he's hobbled, they'll feel like they can get him man. I don't know how you can figure that, but I'm going to just guess here that's what they're thinking. And I'm sure that they'll probably try to punch out Wes Welker. I mean, the Patriots have tried to punch out Wes Welker. Even Bill Belichick said it on Sunday when they first arrived in Indianapolis. He said, hey, when Wes was playing with the Dolphins, he was the one guy we always tried to take out. And we couldn't do it. Eventually, we traded for the guy. So, you know, I don't know if anybody really can do that. But I think the Giants will try to figure out a way to do that so he doesn't eat them alive. All right, so just some early indications for you as to which way we're going to go in terms of the matchups. But I do believe this game will be decided in the trenches. How well does the Patriots' offensive line play against the rush four of the Giants, and how well can the Patriots defensive line put pressure on Eli Manning and the Giants offensive line, which has been maligned a little bit itself. All right, so that's my at least initial impression of the breakdown of this game. Now, I asked on Facebook today. Both teams obviously expect to win, but the money is moving on the Giants. Early, it was more than 80% of the Vegas bets I read coming in was money being laid on the Giants and the 3-point initial spread, which why it shrunk to 2.5. And now I know, I believe it's back to 3 because a little more money is coming in on the Patriots. And I think, last I saw, at least as I'm looking here, overall now the bets are coming in at 60% for the Giants. So not quite the 80%, but about 60%. And I think the number has nudged slightly again back to 3. Doesn't matter, but what does matter in the overall scheme of things, of course, but what does matter is this is what the public perception is for the outcome of the game. What I want to know from you today is where is this game lost for the Patriots? Experts seem to be saying Giants. The networks are saying Giants. Fan boards are screaming Giants. So Patriots fans and Giants fans, if you're listening today, I welcome your input here. Where is this game going to be lost for the Patriots? If they lose it, where is the Achilles heel? Webradio@patriots.com is how you reach us on email. The Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Again, that's area code 508-298-0398. Facebook page, John Rook, R-O-O-K-E. Submit that friend request. Let's chat on Facebook. And follow me on Twitter, @JRook, J-R-O-O-K-E, 0722 is the Twitter page address. Bob Papa of the New York Giants is coming up in just a few minutes. But right now, let's get to Indianapolis. And from earlier today at Media Day, let's get the thoughts from Patriots tight end Rob Gronkowski.
You're not imagining breaking records and stuff in that next level. I mean, the only thing you're imagining is getting better, staying focused to get healthy again, to get back out there, to contribute, to get out to the field and make sure you're ready when it comes down to you to play again.
How much has the uncertainty that has been associated with this injury affected your enthusiasm? Not knowing.
This is a once in a lifetime chance. I mean, I'm here having a good time with all the teammates, just living it up with the teammates, having a great time with the team. This is the last week that this team's going to be together, having a blast with my friends, having a blast with the coaches, just having a blast with everyone, and working when we need to work, hanging out when we can hang out and everything. And I mean, I ain't putting no dampers. I'm day by day. I don't know what's going to happen. So I'm just day by day, enjoying my time here, getting better, focusing. Working hard to get out there and be ready when it comes to game. I don't know. I couldn't answer that. I mean, just it's not a regular season game. It's the Super Bowl this week, and just taking it, just preparing. Like it's a big game, and it's the biggest game. Ain't no regular season game, so you gotta treat it a lot differently.
How are you doing? We're live on NFL Network. Can we get a couple questions in real quick? The boot, is the fact that it's not there, is that a sign of improvement with the ankle?
Yeah, definitely. I'm improving every day. I mean, that's what you want. When you're hurt, you want to improve every day. Just trying to get stronger every day, listening to the training staff, what they have to say, healing up, getting stronger, and making sure I'm more fluid out there, can be on it and everything. And so basically going in the right direction.
Is there a compression wrap under there?
Nope.
No compression wrap. Tom Brady told Dion that he told you before you came out you should write "Hi, Mom" on your ankle, seeing as how it's getting so much attention this week.
Yes, it was definitely a good idea, which I should have definitely wrote that, but that's a good idea to say that. Hi, Mom.
We've seen you walking. You look okay walking when you got off the plane. Is there any gamesmanship involved with knowing that there's so much attention on your ankle? Are you purposefully trying to send any messages or show anything?
No, not at all. And the only reason it's getting so blown up is because it's the Super Bowl, obviously, and obviously there's every single story about it, like you guys can create. And it's just like any other injury during any other week. Just take it day by day. Every single day, you're trying to take another step forward. You're trying to heal as quick as possible. You're just listening to training staff to get back out there. So when it comes down to game time, you're ready to help out the team and you're ready to be out there out on the field.
Would you say that your ability to play and then produce would be a key in this game?
I'm not sure. I mean, if I'm out there, obviously, I'm gonna have the ability to be playing, and I'm gonna be going full speed and everything, just doing as much as I possibly can. And like I said, we're taking it day by day. I could be feeling 100% when it comes on game day and Sunday. You just don't know because you're just trying to get better. You're trying to progress every single day, doing the treatments that the trainers have you do. So. Just moving forward every single day and moving into a positive direction. So far, it's been good.
Could you not practice and then feel comfortable playing in the game?
I mean, I'm not really sure, but that's why I trust in the training staff, the coaches and everything. They'll trust in me. They have me doing things in the training staff to get me ready, if that's the case. But we're not even looking forward to that. Today's Tuesday, another day to get my ankle better. To keep on rehabbing, and then tomorrow's another day where we look forward, we take that situation, and we're going to apply what we have.
Your brother here in town, I know you were tweeting last night that you were hanging out with him. What kind of support system has he and the rest of your family been for you?
They've been a huge support system. It's great having your family out here, and it's great that my brother's on the Colts. I mean, he has a house right up down the street. Get to go hang out with him at night, catch up with my brother and everything. So not just coming to the Super Bowl, hanging with the team, I also get to see my family. I get to see my brother, hang out with him. Talk about the life, being in the NFL together and everything, helping each other out and just supporting each other. It's awesome.
Are you, in fact, using his locker?
No, we just mess around that I have his locker, but I'm going to try and find what one of his is. I might write a message in it.
Thanks, Rob.
Yep.
All right, Rob Gronkowski from earlier today at, of course, Media Day at the Super Bowl and Lucas Oil Stadium. You know, he does sound supremely confident he's going to play. I mean, he can't say, because you know the Patriot way of doing things, talking about injuries is verboten. It never has been. It probably never will be. Something that we've all had to get used to over the time. But you can tell that his enthusiasm is there. You can tell that his energy is there. He'd love to say, yeah, man, I'm ready to get out there and play. I'm going to play. I'm going to kick some butt. But he's trying to be somewhat reserved about it because, you know, nobody wants to tip any hands here. And I know that's probably been discussed. And, of course, here's the silly part about it all. If you're the Giants, you know he's going to play. He's going to play. But there is a shred of doubt. There is a shred of doubt. I mean, and we don't know. Let's say he gets out there and he practices. Now, the Patriots were not practicing today, not scheduled to practice today. And they'll get back out there again tomorrow after having a full pads workout once they arrived in Indianapolis. But I guess there's always the possibility that later this week he could tweak it. So that's what we'll be watching over the course of, you know, the next couple of days. High ankle sprains traditionally are worse than low ankle sprains. Higher up in the leg, harder to heal because of the stress and the strain that's put on the leg, especially when you're trying to, you know, run up and down the field and make cuts, as receivers always do, when you're trying to push off from the line of scrimmage and block, as tight ends always do. So because of that, this is going to be watched. But it sure looks like he feels pretty close to normal, does it not? And I think we all realize that the Patriots' chances to win on Sunday are increased, certainly somewhat. I won't say exponentially because I think that takes away from the others. But I think they're certainly increased if they have a relatively healthy Rob Gronkowski ready to go. They have a healthy Aaron Hernandez ready to go. Everybody else is healthy and ready to go. There's extra help on the offensive line available. Dante Scarnecchia said earlier today that Sebastian Fulmer will play in the game.
When news breaks, we break it. So, Patriots.com radio.
Thank you very much. So that does mean something, I think, in terms of the overall depth. That's key. We've still got some other players that we're going to get to throughout the course of the program here today from Media Day. Bob Papa, the voice of the New York Giants, is going to come up in just a couple of moments as well, and we're going to get him, and that's him right now. So let's get out to the voice of the Giants, Bob Papa, joining us here inside Patriots Playbook. Bob, thanks for a couple of minutes. Sure appreciate the time today.
Oh, Bob, pleasure to do it.
How has this Giants team, in your estimation, changed overall, from back on November the 6th when you came in here and beat New England?
Well, when they went and beat New England the last time, they didn't have four starters on offense. David Boss was inactive for the game. Bradshaw didn't play. And their best receiver, Akeem Nicks, didn't play in the game, not to mention starting fullback Henry Hynoski. So, look, I think both teams have evolved quite a bit. I think both teams are playing their best football right now. But it truly is a different Giant team, a much more confident team going into this game than even the first time they played.
I think that the Giants can certainly, you can make the argument that they're playing as well as, you know, anybody played during this last stretch of the NFL season. They're one of two teams left standing. How did it change around? Was there a seminal moment for this team in terms of thinking, hey, maybe this team can get back to the Super Bowl?
Well, I think, and Patriots fans are going to enjoy this, but when Victor Cruz went 99 yards against the Jets, that was a pretty big moment for this team. But look, they got their guys healthy. Michael Boley had been nursing some injuries. Justin Tuck has played the whole year injured. They got OCU Manure back. And when you add two legitimate Pro Bowl defensive linemen back into an equation and a very good linebacker who has a lot of speed and athleticism, you're naturally going to play faster, and that meant that they could use their rotation and keep people fresh, which is something that they've done, you know, over the last 4 or 5 years, and that's why they've been successful.
Right. Well, let's kind of look at then at where this team is offensively against a Patriots defense that we know has been maligned. Both teams have you know, given up their fair share of yards this year. Defensively speaking, for the New York Giants, where have the improvements come? Where did you feel like things started to change positively in their favor to make this a team that could get to the point where they are today?
Well, you know, they're getting after the quarterback, and that helps the secondary and their coverage. And one of the things that they've done very well is they've tackled. They have not allowed yards after the catch for the most part. They've done a good job of getting receivers on the ground and getting running backs on the ground after first contact. And I think when you can do that, and stay in manageable down and distance defensively, and then put the four defensive ends on the field, you create matchup problems for any offensive line because, you know, you normally double one of the best pass rushers the other team has and you maybe worry about a second guy. Here you have to worry about four guys that can all be double-digit sack guys.
No question about that. And I think that's one of the reasons why most everybody looks at the Giants certainly as eminently capable of trying to do this again like they did in 42. Now, kind of getting to that point, Bob, there aren't a lot of players left over from either side back to Super Bowl 42. There's a few more Giants than Patriots players. But has that ever entered into any of the discussion process amongst the players about, hey, we did this once before, certainly stands the reason we can do it again?
I don't think in specific to this game, but I think, you know, a lot of guys on this team were on that team in 2007. You know, there's 16 guys that are on the team, 15 guys that are active. And I think they understood the message from their head coach that if we could do enough to get into the playoffs and be one of the six teams in the NFC tournament, you wipe the slate clean. Doesn't matter what your record is. Who cares what your rankings are? Now it's just go play 60 minutes of football. So I think they really kind of held on to the fact that if we can get in, we can do damage because they really believed in their coach and they really believed in their team. And they never, even when they had their four-game losing streak, this team never got pulled apart. And there's always been a sense of unity with this group that's been pretty remarkable.
Sure. And speaking to that, Patriots fans know that, you know, the Patriots players certainly take their cue from Bill Belichick. How much do Giants players take their cue from Tom Coughlin, where certainly I think before the Giants got on a roll this year, there was talk about Coughlin losing his job.
Yeah, and you know what? The players really care about their head coach. And, you know, you talk about taking the cues from your head coach, and we were just talking about this in the stadium. Tom Coughlin, when all that stuff swirls around him, doesn't pay any attention. I mean, he just shows up on Wednesday morning and addresses the team and gives them a layout or a blueprint of how they're going to go out and win that week. And I think the players really find a comfort in the fact that this guy's really consistent. He's about trying to figure out how to way to win a game and, you know, be damned what they're saying in the New York papers or the media. He's like, let's just go play a football game. And the fact that he pays no attention to that stuff has served this team very well this year.
You know, you mentioned the media, and I kind of get a chuckle, you know, especially over the tabloids, as I know you're very familiar with, you know, trying to sort of stir things up a little bit. They talked about how Tom Brady said at the rally here a couple of days ago, how, you know, we want to see more people back here and, you know, for the celebration and such. And so I think it was kind of getting stirred up a little bit that Brady's, you know, predicting a win. And then we see, of course, Antrell Roll saying some things on the other round. Is this pure media fabrication? I don't get the sense at all that either team cares one flip about what the other team says.
Now, well, one of the mottos of this team has always been talk is cheap. And, you know, things are going to be said. Look, in these 24-hour news cycles and with Twitter and Facebook and, you know, every platform under the sun, there's going to get a quote that gets twisted. But like the Giants have been for all their playoff games, they've had a very healthy respect for who they're playing, and they've respected their opponents and what they can do. They just feel like, hey, if we go out and play our game, we should win. And there's nothing wrong with saying we feel confident we can win.
All right, well then, I realize it's still very early in the week. Our thoughts will probably change on a little different matchups throughout the course of the week. But best guess right now, where do you feel like this game gets won or lost on Sunday?
You know, listen, with these two quarterbacks, you figure it's going to come down late in the game and someone's going to have to make a play.
Sure.
I just think that when the Giants have to make a play defensively, they're going to have a pass rush that can cause Brady at least enough issues to disrupt things. And I don't think the Patriots consistently can do that against the Giants.
I have happy to agree, at least at this stage of the game. I mentioned earlier, I really believe like the outcome of this game is going to be decided in the trenches. It's going to be Patriots offensive line and their ability to keep the Giants defensive rush, you know, away from Tom. And at the same time, we saw where the Giants allowed Eli Manning to get pummeled a bit by the San Francisco 49ers. Admittedly, the 49ers made their own share of mistakes, but the Giants ended up winning the game. So the Patriots certainly have to figure out a way to make Eli uncomfortable. I don't know that that happens.
Yeah, I mean, unless the Patriots could trade for Patrick Willis and Aaron Smith and Navarro Bowman and Alden Smith this week, you know, those guys are pretty special with what San Francisco has defensively. I just, you know, I know Wilfork is going to be a beast, and I know Belichick will scheme, but I just don't know if New England can get that on a consistent basis. And, you know, the secondary as well is something that is susceptible. So if they don't get to Manning, it could be a long day for New England.
Just out of curiosity, Bob, what's your week like in getting to Indianapolis and following the team, and what your duties will be before you get a chance to broadcast the biggest game of the year?
Well, I do the show on Sirius XM NFL Radio every morning, so right. That's how I start my first 4 hours. And then the New York Giants TV department, we're producing 12 TV shows for our TV partner, MSG Network, in New York. So we've been pretty busy this week, but it's fun. You know, it beats the alternative.
You're playing this week, and the 30 other teams are not playing, and I happen to agree with that one. At least there's some football to talk about. Then for the rest of the week, then, what will you kind of be looking out for? And on top of all of this, is there an unsung hero on this Giants team you feel like is ready to break out and make a difference in the big game?
Well, you know, it's a great point that you bring up, because a lot of times these games do sort of zero in on somebody that's kind of unknown. I think Mario Manningham, a lot of focus on Victor Cruz, rightfully so. A lot of focus on Hakeem Nicks. But Mario Manningham is just as explosive as those guys. And if the Patriots have to go single coverage on him, I wouldn't be shocked if he had a big impact on this game.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I wonder if you would pick a wide receiver, because I think the Giants still have a David Tyree type of impression to leave up to everybody, don't they?
Yeah, I don't know if this game is going to have to come down to a David Tyree helmet catch. I think that, you know, just being honest, if I look at it across the board, I just think the Giants are a better football team, you know, from 1 through 53. And I just think if they can play their game and not turn the football over, that they should have a great opportunity to win it.
You touched on a really key point. I think it's standard in almost every game. Certainly, it's magnified in big games, but mistakes. You can't turn the football over. And I think even though the Patriots lost the giveaway-takeaway ratio in their two playoff games, I don't think they can afford to lose it in this game. I think the Giants win maybe even easily if the Patriots turn the ball over.
Yeah, I mean, the Patriots were fortunate. They're only the third team in NFL history to win a conference championship with a -2 or worse turnover ratio.
Right.
And, the bottom line is Joe Flacco nearly had a touchdown pass to Lee Evans. Now, the DB Moore made a very nice play to eliminate that. But I just think that if they turn it over, it's going to cause a lot of problems, because if you give Manning a short field, it could be tough.
How has Eli Manning become the quarterback that he's become? Not to say that he wasn't a good quarterback beforehand, but a lot of talk over the course of the last couple of weeks has put Eli, and maybe even rightfully so, up at the same class as the elites in the league, right there with Tom Brady, because he's found a way to sort of lead his team. Where did the switch get turned on for him?
The same way that Tom Brady went from being a good quarterback early in his career to arguably one of the best quarterbacks, you know, in NFL history. Hard work. I mean, every year Eli Manning comes back and he tries to figure out a way in which he can improve his own game and eliminate mistakes in his game. And he spends a lot of time in the offseason working at his craft. And, you know, that's a cue that his brother has used. Obviously, Brady has used it. And anybody who aspires to be great knows that it's never a done deal, no matter what you've accomplished, including winning a Super Bowl MVP. And Manning has never rested on his laurels, because that's just not his MO.
Finally, Bob, what does a win really mean for the Giants here?
Well, I mean, it would be Coughlin's second Super Bowl win in 8 years, which would match Bill Parcells, who won his first Super Bowl in his fourth year and his second in his eighth.
Right.
He tied Parcells for the most franchise wins in the postseason. Eli would be a two-time Super Bowl champion. And, you know, look, Coughlin's going to continue to coach a couple more years, and if he can add a second Super Bowl win to his resume and, you know, win, you know, over the next couple of years, he's going to wind up in the top 12 or so of all-time wins as a head coach. And you're going to punch his ticket to the Hall of Fame. And, you know, Eli Manning, who just turned 31, looks like he's just really hitting his pure prime. I mean, the numbers that he may wind up putting up, again, a second Super Bowl, and suddenly, you know, there's a good chance you're going to get a bust in Canton, Ohio.
I'd have to say he'd be on the track for it, that's for certain. Bob Papa, the radio play-by-play voice of the New York Giants, joining us from Indianapolis. Bob, thanks for the time. Greatly appreciated. Good luck to you guys on Sunday, and hope to talk to you soon.
Yeah, and thanks for having me on, and great fans in New England, and it should be a fun game.
We're looking forward to it. Thanks, Bob. Bob Papa, again, the radio voice of the New York Giants, joining us here in the playbook. Sounds supremely confident, doesn't he, Pats fans? Should he? I think there's every reason to believe that he should be. He brought up some very interesting points. He brought up some very cogent arguments. I think we touched on a few of the absolute keys to this game, mistakes being one. But I think the entire Giant team organization, right to the play-by-play announcer, as you just heard, I think they feel that this is certainly an eminently winnable game, that they feel like from 1 to 53 on that roster, they have a better team overall than the Patriots. They were 9-7, however, during the regular season. I will mention that to you again. Yes, they did win their division. Yes, they did beat the Patriots at Gillette. They have every reason to feel every bit as confident as the Patriots do, and maybe even hold just a little extra swagger because they know they've done it before and they can do it again. I just, you know, in rematches, especially when the Patriots lose the first one, I just think there's a little something extra left to come. Let's just hope the Patriots get a chance to prove that. And in due time, and in fairly short order as well with the game coming up on Sunday. All right, much more still to come inside the Patriots playbook here this afternoon. We'll get to some of the interviews again from Media Day and Indianapolis in a bit as well. In the meantime, your thoughts, webradio@patriots.com is how you reach us. The Ace Ticket Hotline is 508-298-0398. Facebook page, Twitter page, ready to roll. Don't forget our question of the day has to do with whether or not, oh, wow, what happened here? I think that the Facebook page just crashed. Maybe it's because it's being hit here a little bit. Let me see if I can get it called back up here. That's bizarre. Okay. All right, well, then we got to figure that part out. We'll figure that part out. The fact of the matter is, wow, look at this. Okay. It's starting to kind of like sputter. That's okay. That's a good problem to have. You're sending the servers nuts here. All right, here we go. As I mentioned earlier, the early money moving on the Giants. Where is this game, Patriots fans and Giants fans, where is this game going to be lost? If it is lost, where is it going to be lost for the Patriots? What's the Achilles heel? Your thoughts coming up in the playbook.
Droid. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
Gear up for the Super Bowl at the official team store, the Patriots Pro Shop. The Patriots Pro Shop and PatriotsProShop.com have the widest selection of authentic Patriots merchandise anywhere, from jerseys and sweatshirts to hats, game day party gear, and more. The Patriots Pro Shop at Gillette Stadium is open Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Or shop online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop. If you were any closer, you'd be in the locker room.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Dear business traveler who's flying away, you can get more out of your working day with plush leather seats including legroom galore to stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at JetBlue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
All right, guys, ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right, then strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're gonna miss it.
This backpack just kind of really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah, good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. But that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
What do you think? You guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature, right?
Right, no.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochet. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Love
this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice. And football. And baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots.
Copyright 2011, Bank of America Corporation.
I'm improving every day. I mean, that's what you want. When you're hurt, you want to improve every day. Just trying to get stronger every day, listening to the training staff, what they have to say, healing up, getting stronger, and making sure I'm more fluid out there, can be on it and everything, and so basically going in the right direction.
Is there a compression wrap under there?
Nope.
That's Rob Gronkowski from earlier today in the Super Bowl at Lucas Oil Stadium. Media day today. And it appears he is ready to go. But, again, definitively, we don't know the answer to that. John Rook inside Patriots Playbook on this Super Bowl Tuesday. We're broadcasting live from Gillette Stadium all week long, of course. Our PFW in Progress guys, Patriots Football Weekly writers, will be in Indianapolis on Radio Row, bringing you the very latest from the Super Bowl from noon until 2 p.m. Eastern time. Tuesday,
check
Wednesday, Thursday. Yeah, checking it out. And then myself and Pete Shepard will be here from 2 until 6 p.m. Eastern time from Gillette Stadium, bringing you the local perspective as well on the Pats and the Giants in Super Bowl 46. In the meantime, let me hit a couple of emails, a couple of Facebook posts, and from the questions that we've been asking today, talking about how where this game could be lost if the Patriots do lose it. Several comments coming from Facebook. And again, the Facebook page was kind of going on the fritz here just a short while ago before we went to the commercial break. So I apologize if we don't get yours read, because it seems to be going back to an old page, an older cached page. So apparently getting a lot of hits to the Facebook.
We kind of crashed
Facebook today.
Good job, Patriots fans.
Totally. Steven says, I'm concerned about Brady getting sacked and the secondary getting passed on all night. I think that's putting it mildly. It's kind of everybody's concern right there. Chris says, if they can't replace Gronk production, then Jarvis is the key. The time of possession, and of course, red zone production. As few possessions as the Giants have, the better. Kyle says, the matchup that will determine the game, in my opinion, will be the Patriots' offensive line going against the Giants' defensive line. When they move Tuck inside to rush the passer, he cannot get there. When they do it on early downs, the Patriots would be wise to run the ball. Yeah, that's a good one, too. Chris says, does anyone have faith in the offensive line? I mean, these guys are awesome. I said they dominate, other than less than a handful of plays. Brian, the game is lost if the Patriots can't keep the Giants' receivers in front of them. You can't stop the Giants' passing game, but you can avoid the huge touchdowns, make them work their way down the field. You can hold them to field goals in the red zone. Do that, and the Patriots win. I happen to like that one myself, Brian. Pretty good analogy right there. I think it's all about not getting beat for that, you know, 60-yard-plus play, you know, by a guy like Victor Cruz.
Yeah, the Giants receivers are notorious for that. I mean, they take a 5-yard little hook route, and they go 80 yards with it. And
right.
Tackling is definitely going to be key in this game.
No question. Chris writes, Patriots need to avoid a shootout. Never thought we'd see the day. My friend Arlene says, the Patriots need to contain Eli Manning. No scrambling in a third down situation. Get him and don't let him get away. That seems to be his strength. Never seen anything like it. Third down and 15, no problem. Just stop him. Let's go back to Super Bowl 42 and the fateful play against David Tyree. Patriots had him. Dead to rights, right? Probably should have had him, but the whistle never blew. Eli kept playing. And, of course, we know the rest is history. Got to get his butt on the carpet. It's that simple. And Ray says, Brady needs to stay on his feet. Use his eyes to avoid the pass rush. If he can't stay on his feet, get rid of the ball quick. Don't take sacks. Okay. I think that's all pretty sound thinking. I think we have some very knowledgeable football fans. Very knowledgeable. Let's see if we can get a couple of emails in here, and then we're going to get back to Indianapolis and hear from Vince Wilfork on Media Day coming up. Let's go with Jordan from Athens, Georgia, who says, thanks for all the work you do, John. As a Patriots fan in Georgia, I have to work to get team info throughout the season. You guys help a lot. Few thoughts, though. Ocho Cinco had a pretty candid interview today at Media Day. Do you think the Patriot way fixed his off-field issues and can produce a good Super Bowl performance? And are you putting any stock in Belichick's light mood is a sign of retiring if the Pats win? I think he's a football coach, first and foremost, Jordan. I know the PFW guys addressed this a little bit earlier today. If the Patriots win the game, I really don't see him retiring. I think he rides it out. At the very least, I think he rides it out as long as Tom Brady decides to ride it out. I could see
another 4 or 5 years.
Well, yeah, I could see certainly another 3 or 4 years minimum, but I could also see him deciding maybe to bump himself up to full-time GM role and maybe somebody else coming in as a coach once Brady's done. I could see that happening, especially if the Patriots win here and then, dare I say, before Tom is through, win one for the thumb. They do that, then I could certainly see somebody going out on a high note.
Oh, absolutely. You know, you don't want to get ahead of yourself.
No.
Be unprecedented.
And by the way, did we say we had Ocho Cinco's comments from earlier today, Matt?
We do. We have it from when he spoke with Deion Sanders. But
from NFL Network,
quick
right?
Plug, Eric Scalavino from PFW, he was kind of the guy who first got Ocho Cinco to talk today.
Right.
And then everybody crowded around. So check back with Patriots.com later. Eric is going to have a great story on, you know, Ocho Cinco's thoughts. And
nice.
Eric, always a great writer, always friend of the show.
So nice.
Make sure to check that out on Patriots.com later.
All right. Attaboy. Way to be a company guy. Attaboy. Way to be a company guy. All right, Jordan. Yeah, and to answer your question, we'll try to get to the Ocho Cinco comments from Media Day as well. All right, let's go ahead and get now back to Super Bowl. Lucas Oil Stadium earlier today in Indianapolis. During Media Day, here are the comments from Patriots defensive tackle Vince Wilfork.
D lineman that was that smart, and just talking to a couple guys that played with him basically relayed back to me how smart he was as a football player. So but you had to know the tradition going down, and I knew it. Like I said, I was a Hurricane fan, so those guys I followed. So when I got there, it was like all love. It was all love, and to this day Cortez is a close friend of mine. Russell Mallon, he taught me some things. They all come back and try to, you know, showed appreciation for what we've doing, especially as a D-tackle, what we're doing as a D-tackle. So, shout-outs to my man.
Vince, I have a message. Not a question. My message is, A, I think you're the MVP. I emailed Bianca and told her after the last game, I'm like, he's the MVP. You killed them. It was amazing. You've been killing them all season. I'm very proud as a Patriots fan. be on Sunday. Not that I'm a coach. Boa constrictor. Don't let them breathe. Crush them, annihilate them, and kill them. Okay?
We'll try. We'll try. We definitely will.
How do you get to Eli?
Eli, man, we got to get to Eli however we can. With 3, 4, 5, 6 guys, 7 guys at times. I think we just have to be relentless. I really do. I think everything has to come in as one. I think the pass rush has to be there. I think the coverage has to be there. So I think if we get those two, I like our matchups.
Does it upset you? Everyone is talking about the defensive prowess of the front four of the New York Giants, underestimating you and what you brought to the table as well as your partners on the field.
Yeah, a lot of people, it's big talk about those guys. But you know what? When you can have four guys that can rush the pass the way they do, you have to talk about them. But, you know, they do what they do. We do what we do. You know, we just going to keep that in stride, and we're going to keep it moving. So, on Sunday, the game is won on Sunday.
You know, you had one less interception than Nnamdi Asamoah, and we're showing you interception right now as we speak. Can you break it down? Break down the play, because you know I'm a corner.
Yeah.
And that was a big man's dream.
Absolutely, that's a big man's dream to get the ball and rumble with it. But, you know, the one against Phillip was I told myself going into it, I said, man, I know you like to throw check down the screen. So I said, look here, I got in my stance. I seen this, you know, the guard sitting light. I was like, man, I think I'm going to take off. If this back step, I'm stepping with him. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. Bill's going to have to curse me out. And, you know, once he stepped, I stepped. And knowing the release of Phillip Rivers, you know, I got right in his throwing lane. He never saw me. And it was like boom, boom to myself. And once I got the ball, it was like, oh, man, I got the ball. I got to go. I got to go, baby. So, you know, I went to rumbling and everything. And later on found out I was pissed off with McCourty. But that probably was one of the smartest plays that he made to get that penalty, because it probably would have stripped me. But that was that one. Then the one against Oakland was, you know, basically – just trying to get back to the other side and kind of gave ground a little bit just in case he was throwing the ball, which he was, and stepped him right in front of him. He never saw me, so that was another one. That one right there probably was the best one, because I got a chance to, you know, stiff arm and, you know, guys on my back and stuff like that. So I felt like a DB.
I want you to high step and hold it up. So if that happens again, will you do so?
Oh, man, I got you. I got you. I'll show you how to prime time that, baby.
That him? Okay, that was sort of abrupt. Never mind. All right, so there's Vince Wilfork. You got a little time in with Deion Sanders from NFL Network earlier today. And we've still got a few others that we're going to bring you as well, but let's get back to the phones. As we mentioned, you can get us on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398. Big Al in Valdosta, Georgia. Hello, Big Al.
John Rook, what's happening, babe?
Hey, we're ready to roll. I'm ready to kick this off. Let's go.
Me too. I'm so fired up. I wish they'd just kick it off tomorrow.
Yeah, well, I'm sure the players feel the same way, Al.
Yeah, but yeah, I really like our chances. I think that we got a little bit better running game than we had in 2007, and I think that that's going to help keep the heat off of Brady, you know, a little bit better this time. Mm-hmm. And as a result, I think we got a chance to score some more points. And if they get into a point scoring match with us, as opposed to last time in 2007, it was like a slugfest with, I guess, what, no score at halftime or something like that, or, you know, very low scoring.
Right.
I like our chances. The higher the score goes, I like our chances. The better, the higher it up it goes, the better I like it.
No question. No question about that. Totally agree with that assessment. I would also, you know, tell you though that, in all honesty, I'm not entirely certain right now that, you know, honestly, I haven't decided the Patriots are going to win this game yet.
Mm-hmm.
I just haven't done it. I'm not certain that this game is going to spiral into an offensive shootout. I tend to think that in big games like this, teams tend to want to kind of keep some things in their hip pocket if they need it. And by
right.
that I mean if they fall behind or if mistakes happen. I don't think these teams come out blazing. I could be wrong. I just, you know, I've seen it more times than not. I think that teams have a tendency to sort of be a little bit conservative so they don't make mistakes, because they know that mistakes can hurt you in a big game like this, whereas if you don't make the mistakes, you keep yourself in the game. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does make sense. I know what you're saying. I mean, it's almost like it's feast or famine. you're either so incredibly conservative that you don't want to be second guessed because the whole world's watching or whatever, or if you do kind of break the rules or go against the percentages, you do it so off the wall crazy that nobody would think that you'd be dumb enough to do it. Like, you know, the onside kick by the Saints, you know, in 2009. You know, what are they, crazy?
Right.
Oh, they recovered the ball. Oh, you know, that type of thing.
Right.
You know, so it's kind of like, you know, it's hard to, I guess, play a really steady game. You're sort of tempted one way or the other to really go for crazy stuff that you don't think they'll ever expect, or to just play it, you know, close to the vest and figure that, you know, your defense and special teams will win it for you. You know, ironically, because our defense is still kind of evolving, I think we are going to take some chances with the ball.
Okay.
And, you know, that sets you up to possibly make a mistake. And if it, you know, we've really only had one of those games, I think, this year, which is the game at Buffalo where the offense, you know, kind of pissed it away, pardon my French.
Right.
But that's the only one of those we've had. And I don't think we're going to do it again. And Brady is so fired up after having that stinker that he had against the Ravens. You know, as if the guy isn't fired up enough already. I mean, he's always fired up. But this gives him like an extra 10% of fired up-edness. You know?
Yeah.
He's going to just be, I mean, they're going to have to calm him down.
Well, you know, there are, Al, a couple of different ways to look at it. Sure, you know, I think most fans can realize that, you know, the Patriots managed to get through the playoffs without Tom Brady really being at his best, especially against Baltimore, and that could be considered a good sign.
Right.
That, you know, he's going to be, you know, loaded for bear against the Giants.
Yep.
You know, frankly, I don't think we see, you know, back-to-back lousy games by a guy like Brady, and I think it stands to reason that he's going to have every opportunity to perform at a very high level against the Giants and probably should and will perform at a high level. We've seen not only his level of confidence high so far this week, we've seen Bill Belichick relaxed, even joking a little bit. I think those are all good signs to Patriots fans. I think they know how they have to beat the Giants. I think they know what they need to do. The question is whether or not they can out-execute the Giants in their game plan, and the team that out-executes the other and gets closer to performing their game plan is the one that's going to win. It's that simple.
Well, I got a question for you, John.
All right.
And, you know, I've been beating this drum all year, so forgive me, but I think the last time in 2007, I was just never a big fan of Nick Kayser. I saw that guy whiff a lot of times. I think he whiffed a couple times in that game, and I think in addition to a little bit better running game, we're better at the offensive tackle position, especially with all three of these guys healthy. So my question is, do we know anything about Vollmer, Solder, and Matt Light as far as all three of them being able to play in this game?
Yeah, Dante Scarnecchia said earlier today that Vollmer was going to play.
Great.
So Vollmer should be ready to go. Solder's going to start. Matt Light, he missed media day today because he's ill, and I think they're just trying to make sure that he doesn't infect anybody else. We'll have to monitor his status throughout the course of the week. But I am listening. You know, for him not to play, I think guy would have to be on his deathbed, don't you?
Oh, poor dude, Boilermaker. Are you kidding me? Playing this in his hometown area or whatever?
There's no doubt.
Of course, he's going to play.
There's no doubt.
And I'm not saying that Sebastian Vollmer is some sort of magic pill or anything. I'm just saying the more bodies that you have, because the Giants are going to rotate. They go, you know, extra deep at defensive line, and they're going to try to keep people fresh. So, I mean, we're going to have to match that. So the more, you know, bodies we have there, I mean, I think Vollmer's good. I know he's been hurt lately or there's been issues or whatever, but, you know, if he's ready to go, we need him. I think we need all three of them, you know, to be healthy to offset what they're going to do, and also it might give us some more options in terms of, you know, Gronkowski not being 100%.
Agreed.
And maybe you'd want to have Solder do that H-back thing, you know, instead of Gronkowski do it, to do the wham blocks and stuff like that.
Sure.
I mean, there's things you can do when you have more people. But I've been watching the media day, and and I'm not a media basher. I really am not. I like media people, and you know, I get what it's about, but there's one thing that does kind of, you know, is kind of jump out at you. It just seems like, you know, poor Joe Namath, he had to give this guarantee.
Yeah, he
you
did.
Know,
And, well, he had to do that to drum up interest in the game. Back then, I mean, that was Super Bowl III. It yep. wasn't near the circus that it is now. It was not, as I suggested earlier here, asking, you know, what you thought that the preeminent sporting event in the country was.
Right.
You know, that was not the number one event in the United States at the time.
Well, it was maybe on its way, but you're right. It was in its infancy still. And, you know, I guess who knew about Super Bowl hype, you know, before Namath? But it just seems like ever since then, you know, we're desperately trying to find the next guy that's going to guarantee something in the Super Bowl. We got to get another Namath soundbite, you know, which at the time he didn't even intend for that to come across that way.
Right.
It wasn't in an interview. He was getting an award
yeah.
and somebody was heckling him.
Yeah.
And so he sort of heckled back
yeah.
and, you know, used the G word. And, you know, we've been looking for it ever since
sure.
from another guy.
Sure.
You know, I mean, come on, you know, let that one go, okay? It's been 40-something, you know, let it go, okay? Namath did what he did, and nobody else is going to do it again. And I'm not sure Namath would have done it, except that he wasn't, you know, he was in a forum where somebody pissed him off, and he let him have it.
Right.
Which I can't blame the guy, and he was luckily able to go out and back it up.
Right.
So, I don't know, I guess because of the fact that he said what he said, it got reported, and then he backed it up. Now we're just looking for that next guy all the time and trying to interpret, you know, guarantees into what people say and all this and trying to find it when it probably isn't even there.
Right.
So, you know, geez, come on. You know, just lay off of that. But I guess it's too tempting. You know, if you want to get that million-dollar quote, you know, you're going to go after it. But, you know, we shall see. But I think it's going to be a great game Sunday, and I just really can't wait to get started, man. This is going to be good. And this if we win this thing Sunday, it will definitely erase a lot of the, you know, from 2007, you know, I mean, just, that'll just disappear. But if we don't win Sunday, of course, then it becomes a, you know, it builds on itself. But I think if we win Sunday, you won't see another highlight of David Tyree for a long time.
Oh, but you will in New York. You will in New York. Let me ask you something, Al, really quick. Where do you think, again, if this game is lost, where do you think it gets lost by the Patriots?
Well, again, I don't see that happening. I see us winning the game. But if we get beat, I think it will, again, boil down to we're having trouble running the ball and we can't protect Brady. And so you have a lot of you have a hard time on offense, which puts maybe too much pressure on the defense. They're on the field too long. And then in the second half, they wear down a little bit. Although I say that, and, you know, the offense put up a stinker against Baltimore, and, you know, the defense held together at the end, got a little bit lucky. I guess you could say they wore down still at the end of the Baltimore game.
Right.
But, you know, managed to eke out the win somehow.
Right.
But I would rather have the offense have a better day to take some of the heat off the defense and keep them fresh for the fourth quarter. I see us leading this game by about 11 points or so in the fourth quarter. And then it'll be another one of these deals, those clock management type of things like we've discussed before this season.
Right. Sure.
And you know it could boil down to that. But no, if we do get beat, I think it'll be because there's we tried to, you know, redo the Baltimore game and the defense just gets tired at the end and this time you can't count on Sterling Moore to rake the ball out. And you
yeah.
can't count on the kid to miss the field goal and
right.
you know that type of thing.
Right.
So, but I just don't see I see the offense having a better game. I think they're going to have a better game against these dudes. Remember, this was a 7-7 team. I'm sorry. They're not that great. They were 7-7.
But they did have a win over the Patriots.
Nobody finished more than 9 wins.
But they did have a win.
In a mediocre division, they were 7-7.
But they had a win over the Patriots, Al.
Quit worrying.
They had a win over the Patriots, Al. So keep that in mind. They had a win over the Patriots.
True enough.
And they won here at Gillette. So we have to be cognizant of that. All right, big fella, have a great
time. You too.
Have a great time. Absolutely. Big Alan Valdosta. He's a passionate fan. Only wants to look at the positive. There's nothing wrong with that, but we have to try to bring in the whole picture if we can here. Our friend Tim on Facebook says, Rook, I'm present and ready to rock. Is it almost kickoff? Can't wait, Tim. Can't wait. Pull my best Bart Scott out. Can't wait. I think the news of Vollmer is bigger than it's getting credit for. If Gronk is less than 100%, I think it's pretty obvious he will be. Though I do think he'll play, we'll have a little more flexibility in limiting Gronk's snaps by using Solder more as a blocking tight end. That's a good point. Giants need to do 3 things as far as I can see. Score points in the improved, Yes, improved. Pat's D. Protect Eli. Get to Tom. I have the utmost confidence in this O-line protecting Brady, as good as their pass rushers are. We have faced plenty of them this season. These guys seem so much looser than previous Super Bowls. I think that's a good thing. I don't think it should be treated as a business trip void of emotion. I like the vibe of the team. And then, by the way, apparently he's been watching some of the Media Day coverage, because he says, I swear, some of these people at Media Day print out their press credentials online. Eli's been pretty good at not getting wound up about the constant Peyton questions. Well, I think all players get a little schooling from their, media relations people, certainly their coaches, and even some of their fellow players as well, especially those that have been through the ringer before. And keep in mind now, there's 15, 16 guys on this Giants team that, went through the Super Bowl Media Day and the whole experience 4 years ago. They understand that reporters come in waves.
Fine reporters.
Yeah,
there were some good ones today.
What? Yeah, sure. And then there are people.
There's a superhero from Nickelodeon.
There's superheroes from Nickelodeon. Yeah, we had a chick, as a wedding dress a few years ago from one of the Spanish networks who asked Tom Brady to marry her. And there's some wacko stuff that goes on during Media Day. But at the same time, you have to understand, you have an hour, and you have. Probably, if you're representing a newspaper, you probably have an assignment where you have to get as many quotes from as many players as you can, or you're working for a website, or especially if you're working for a television station and you have the camera there and you got to get from podium to podium, get as much sound as you can for, your newscast that night or whatever. And so during the course of the hour plus that you're at your podium, or maybe even one of the guys that's not at the podium, you're going to get asked the same questions over and over again because different waves of reporters come through. This is how the process works. And so you're going to end up having to answer some of the same questions over and over and over again. And that's one of the things I know that team PR people tell the players, hold your thoughts. Don't get aggravated. You're going to get the same question over and over and over. And everybody wants to know Eli's thoughts on his brother, because the rumor has it that he could indeed be retiring. It might be over for Peyton. Eli wins, he's going to have one more Super Bowl championship than his brother Peyton. Everybody says Peyton's the better quarterback. I made this argument earlier in the year. If Eli wins this championship game, you can at least make the argument. You can at least make the argument that in clutch games, he's a better quarterback than his brother. Some people wanted to kill me for that earlier. That's fine.
You think Archie will love him a little more?
No, I don't think Archie will love him anymore. I really don't. Archie will certainly respect him more, because he'll have two more rings than his dad had. Right?
He'll have more rings than Peyton. Can you imagine if Eli has more rings than Peyton? What's going to go on in the Manning household?
I'm telling you. Yeah, I know. That's what I mean. That's why I think you can make that argument. So, the players are schooled at answering these questions over and over again. They are. That's just how Media Day goes. It's not like, one wave of questions or one time at the podium and that's it, guys. Good day. Have a good day. Like we see from, Tom and Coach Belichick from time to time here in Foxborough.
I'm sure Tom was frustrated because it's, people who are listening, they may not realize it, but all of us that work around here, we know that lately this year, Tom's been taking the role of his own PR person. Last question over here.
Well, that's true. Tom. I mean, that's right. That's right, and I think most people understand that he has kind of earned the right to do that. He's got a very set schedule that he must follow. He's obviously still a husband and a father, and he wants to get off to the kids and the gorgeous wife, and he's got things he's got to do, and, okay. Nobody can blame him for that. Frankly, I don't blame anybody. A player up there says, I got time for one more. That's fine. I realize everybody has a job to do, but we also have lives to lead. You have to find a happy medium. And everybody realizes that during this particular week, your job is the Super Bowl, and your job is to answer media questions. If it weren't for the media, the Super Bowl wouldn't be as big as it is. The media has helped cultivate this event as maybe the single greatest single sporting event on our planet. You certainly can make that argument, I think, along with probably, I would guess, the World Cup soccer final, just because so many other countries could care flip one about the Super Bowl, but they all do care about the World Cup final. So that's the only one that I think I could put conceivably on a par with our Super Bowl in this country.
Yeah, I think you might even look in, the EPL, English Premier League. I think that might even sometimes be bigger when you get like
maybe
Real Madrid
maybe.
Versus Barcelona or something like that.
Well, when you're talking about the European Champions League there in that particular instance, but yeah, maybe. I don't think it holds. I really don't think in terms of the global interest and the coverage and the people watching. I don't know that. Just because we don't have that much interest here in this country, Matt, I just don't know that it comes close. I think the Super Bowl, by far and away, is a slam dunk winner. And the numbers will undoubtedly bear that out, I think, before all is said and done. I don't know that this Super Bowl will be the number one most watched television program of all time. Usually the Super Bowl is every year. Depends on the matchup. And even though we have two of the largest media markets in the United States involved here with their teams, and we have the whole New York, New England, Boston, New York thing going here again, you know, is it the number one all time? I don't know.
There's a lot of good storylines in this game, though. I think it's going to interest a lot more people than just a regular old, like if it had been New York versus San Francisco.
Yeah.
I think it's going to bring in a lot of different clientele for these networks.
Right. I think it will. I don't disagree with that. I think you'll have that. I think that's going to bring in certainly extra interest. Let's get to Melvin in Tennessee. Melvin, you're in the playbook today.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, Melvin. What's happening today?
Not much. I wanted to comment on some of your questions.
Go.
I think by far, of course, the Super Bowl is, you know, you have women, wives, and stuff. Well, actually, that's the only football game they will watch the whole year.
Because they're watching the commercials, right?
Well, it was. They're watching the event. And it's just commercials, the excitement. They probably don't know, they don't have a clue what's going on during the game, but, you know, even the game seven of the World Series, I don't think that, you know, they're going to watch it. Yeah, I think the Super Bowl, by far, you know, just the biggest event of the year as far as that goes.
Right.
And, as far as the game goes, okay, as far as winning or losing, I think the game is decided on third down. Our defense wise on third down, if we can get out the field on third down, I think that's a very big key. And I've seen us, yards, giving up yards, and that's nothing new. But even with the Green Bay Packers, they're giving up yardage. But I feel if you can't get off the field and you let these, and it's third down and red zone visits. If they can convert in the red zone and get touchdowns, next thing you know, Green Bay Packers giving up 30 and 40 points their last two games, that's a problem. Although we've only given up, if you go back and look at the numbers, 20 is fine. If they hold them to 20, 25 points, the Giants, I'm fine with that. I'm confident in our chance to win. But they will go down there, and they let the team get to 30-plus points, which don't happen. Let's say, I think one time, that was the Bills, and that was week three. So, I mean, as long as they keep them into manageable, as long as they stall some of those red zone visits, just like they did last week, which is huge getting that field goal after Woodhead fumbled. As long as they, you know, keep it conservative and hold them in a decent amount of points, I'm very confident in our chance to win it. I think that's the biggest thing, just the red zone visits and, you know, taking advantage of third down from a defensive standpoint and getting them off the field.
I think it's pretty good. I think that's pretty good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, red zone, you got to be able to score touchdowns when you get there. And the Patriots defense, as maligned as it has been, the one thing that it has done better toward the tail end of the season is limit scoring opportunities and turning what would have been touchdowns early in the year into field goals.
Right. I think even if you look at the Steelers, that was the most one-sided beat-up game I think I've ever. I mean, the Steelers had the ball for 41 minutes. Not getting up the field off third down. Just the same thing I'm saying. You start on the field the whole first quarter.
Yeah, yeah.
Brady had three snaps, you know. Get off the field sometimes. I mean, our offense with due time, it's going to get going. So as long as we get off, and we still lost by eight. You know, if you leave our offense on the field for 41 minutes, we might have 100 points.
Right.
So I'm not worried about that. You know, as long as if we get out there, and they still help them, just like I said, it's kind of a bad day for offense, but 25 points. As bad as a beat-up game that was. Because we beat them, you know, we beat the snot out of them last year.
Right.
But that's last year. But the defense last year in that game, oh, my gosh. Spikes, they started off with three. Now, I don't think they scored. I can't remember them really scoring a touchdown. They had a field goal one day. I don't think they scored a touchdown about the third quarter.
Right.
I was, you know, I had turned the TV off by then. I was calling people laughing at them. So, I just think that it'd be very. I'm glad. I'm good. I'm grateful for this opportunity. You know, last year, Nobody talks about the Packers when they win against the Steelers. The year before that, nobody talks about the Saints, you know, versus the Colts. Nobody talks about the Giants against us. I'm liking our chances. For some odd reason, in big games, when a team is doubted like we are right now, and I'm in Tennessee, so I've heard this, you know, crud about Peyton Manning all the time, which I love it, you know, but I think that's a really big key. I think if they don't, let the team get first, I don't know what happened to the Packers, you know, as good as the defense as they had last year, but 37 and 41 points against the Lions, I mean, my team, like I said, Patriots, we'll give up yards all day, but we're not going to let you score 41 points, which I've seen.
I don't think so either. I don't think the Patriots will give up that. I think, you know, the PFW guys were talking earlier, Melvin. I think a magic number in this one is probably 24, right about 24. I agree with that assessment. If the Patriots can keep the Giants to under 24, I think the Pats can win the game. I think it's that simple.
Right, exactly. I think if our offensive line does a decent job of protection, you know, this shiftiness about Gronkowski, I hope they do plan for somebody else. Maybe Hernandez will plan for work a little bit more. Because, you know, the guy, I mean, he's 22. You know, this is his first Super Bowl. I mean, unless you have a gun to my head, I'll probably play on this. And, you know, he came back in that last game, so I still think I studied physical therapy, so kind of know that, you know, I imagine they're putting that boot on there to prevent some swelling. And that's what you know that it just depends on the how drastic the injury is. And about during this time, you know, you start getting some motion in. That's probably why I took it off today. I'm really not concerned about Gronk's injury. And that's probably because I have slightly a little bit more knowledge than everybody else as far as the injury goes. But I'm pretty sure if I saw him play last week, I'm pretty sure he might be limited a little bit, but I think he's fine.
I think so,
I'm
too.
I'm not saying he's 100%, you know, but I think he's fine. I think he's good enough.
I agree with you.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
All right, good stuff. Cool. Thanks, Melvin.
Okay, no problem.
Thanks, buddy. All right, have a good week, you know, and I'm sure that we'll get all fired up for it in Tennessee. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. If you want to give us your thoughts, where you feel like this game could be lost if the Patriots lose the game, where is the Achilles heel? That's kind of what we're looking for here today. What are your impressions as to where this game could be lost? Let's get back to Indianapolis and Lucas Oil Stadium as well from earlier. What we've done throughout the course of the program, if you joined us late today, is give you a bit of the flavor of Media Day from some of the Patriots interviews that did take place earlier, it was late in the morning, earlier this afternoon, in Indianapolis as well. We have heard already from Rob Gronkowski and Vince Wilfork. What say we go to Mr. Brady and get a couple of his thoughts, because you know he'll certainly be candid, and you'll probably be entertained at some of the questions that are actually thrown at Tom as well from, shall we say, non-football types. See if we get a little bit of that mixed in, and then we'll continue right here with your thoughts in the playbook.
You played for the Cowboys. I didn't like you very much.
Why, thank you.
But, you know, there are so many players that I've always looked up to and admired, and I still do today, and guys that were my childhood idols, and you know, hopefully there's some kids out there that are looking up to a lot of these guys because, you know, there's some great players and teammates that I've, you know, really had a chance to be around over the years.
Speaking of teammates, your main weapon, Gronkowski, are you concerned about his health?
Well, he's obviously making progress. He's out of his boot today, which makes me feel a lot better. And I told him he should write, like, "Mom, I love you" on his sock or something because I'm sure there'll be a lot of pictures of his sock. But he's doing better. You know, if anybody wants to be out there, it's him. No one's as tough as him, and you know, he's really what makes our offense go. So, hopefully, we have him out there.
I'm sure you watch Super Bowl 42 over and over because we play it often. Is there anything that you like to take back? Any do-overs that you want to make up in this game?
Well, I think all those games you lose, there's plays that you want back, and you know, certainly every time you lose a game, you think you could have done more to help the team win. So, but when you win, you don't think about any of those things. You just, you know, think about, you know, all the things that you did well. So hopefully that's what I'm thinking about Sunday night.
I'm not going to ask you if you're going to win or lose. What do you think about that? I need one question. I need you to be honest. Can Chad get a ball?
I hope so. When he does start making plays for us, you know, it's it sparks our whole offense. So you got to go talk to him. Go pump him up. Get him ready. He's Chad's pretty fired up this week. It's, you know, he's been in Cincy for a long time, and they didn't have any chances to get here. And I think that he's really enjoyed this experience so far. He had a great day of practice yesterday. And, you know, we need a few more of those, and then we'll be ready to go.
All right, so there's Tom Brady with Deion Sanders from NFL Network talking a little about Chad Ochocinco. And since Tom mentioned it, and since we've had a couple of emailers and a Facebook poster asking about Chad today and whether or not he might get any balls, why don't we go right to the source himself? Now, he didn't have a podium today at Media Day. He was not put up on the pedestal like several of the players who were really widely requested, and I think that's probably because he didn't have the impact this year, and nobody figures, in fact, I think a lot of people figure he could end up being a scratch, a healthy scratch for the game on Sunday. But Deion Sanders found him for an interview, and then once Deion found him, others followed along, and he held his own little interview session off to the side from where the podiums were set up on the field at Lucas Oil Stadium. So let's find out what we got from Chad Ochocinco today in Indianapolis.
I'm proud of you.
I've been good all year. No.
You've been great all year.
Okay.
I'm telling you, I'm proud of you. As a man, as my little brother, you know I remember when.
Yeah.
And I'm proud of you. Has it been tough on you?
No, not really.
Emotionally?
No. Well, because if it was tough on me, if it was emotionally draining, I think I would have spoke out like I would have done in the past.
Right.
I took this as a challenge, as a lesson. I think it was a test from you-know-who upstairs. You know, will he
no,
be able to handle
it?
God,
there
you know,
you go.
Will he be able to handle himself the right way in different circumstances when he's not that guy, when he's not that main focal point? Will he be able to handle it? And I think I did extremely well, regardless of what everybody might say.
Forget everybody. It's me and you.
Yeah, well, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
I did just that.
Would you have it any other way? Would you rather have 100 catches?
Mm-hmm.
The Ochocinco that we all know and love, mm-hmm. or to be right where you are in the situation that you're in?
Mm-hmm. I'd rather be him. Mm-hmm. I didn't put up all the numbers. I didn't did all that. You know, one of the things I came in this year, which really I was happy about, is this will be one of the few times, well, really the only time, mm-hmm. that I won't be home at the Martin Luther King Parade.
Right.
Because I'm always home that first week of January. Mm-hmm. Always. You know? And it's so much bigger than what everybody else is thinking about. They're thinking about the individuals. You know, if I thought about all that, I would have got cut week three, mm-hmm. complaining about the ball.
Mm-hmm.
You feel me? So, I mean, it's been a joy.
As a man, take me through the maturation process as a man, because I've seen you mature. Mm. I've seen you grow spiritually as well as psychologically. And this had to be a test. And do you ever think to yourself, Lord, why you allow me to go through this year?
Nah. Mm-mm. He did it for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
He did it for a reason. Because, I mean, let me tell you what happens. Is I'm in New England.
Mm-hmm.
And when you think about New England, you think of the elite of the elite when it comes to NFL teams. Now, if God put me in this situation and he puts me to this test and I act up, mm-hmm. on the biggest stage of them all with the elite of the elite, what comes after that?
Mm-hmm.
Where am I going after that?
Right.
I mean, he already put me here. Ain't no sense of going back.
Right.
You understand? So I'm seeing in a whole different light than what everybody else is.
Has it been humbling?
Yeah, big time.
I mean, we're standing up.
Yeah.
It ain't no podium. We standing up.
A podium? What I need a podium for?
I just want to hear that. Need to hear that.
Hold up. What I need a podium for?
Okay.
I got 3 million followers on Twitter, right?
Right.
That's my podium.
That's your podium. That's your stage.
I can reach more people than anybody standing around me right now with a click of a button.
Right.
I don't need a podium.
But you're human.
Yeah.
You're a man. You have mm-hmm. feelings. You have children.
Mm-hmm.
You're passionate about mm-hmm. what you do.
Very.
It has to be somewhat humbling, Chad. It has to be.
You know what I've been through to get here?
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Mm-hmm.
I came from Dade County.
Right.
This place called Liberty City.
Right.
Where the odds were against me all through life growing up. You think I'm finna complain after all I've been through to get to this point?
I asked Tom Brady one question. I didn't ask him about who's gonna win. I did ask him about Gronkowski.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't ask him about this and that, and where he stands in history. But I asked him one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Can Chad get a ball? He said you had a great week of practice. The promise is there.
Mm-hmm.
Will Chad get a ball?
Are you asking Chad? How you going to ask Chad if Chad going to get a ball?
Tell me something. Give me hope. I'm with you. I'm Team Ocho. You're a little brother to me.
What you want me to say?
I want you to say.
But you're trying, trying to get me in trouble.
I'm not going to get you in trouble. I'm not going to get you in trouble. I want you to say, I'm going to do what I need to do to be where I need to be. And if he throw it to me, it's up to me. But I'm going to do my job.
I'm going to do my job. That's the easy part.
There you go. All right. Deion was working it. He was really working it. But you got to admire Chad, don't you, a little bit? I mean, fact is that you can tell there's a little bit of hurt in his voice. But he's very happy to be where he is. I think I have tremendous respect for him now as a man, as I think he's matured. I think he's grown up. I think he's handled the situation this year about as well as anybody can handle it. And he has learned, if he hasn't learned anything else, Pats fans, he has learned the Patriot way. He has. He positively learned this year, if he didn't know it before, that the sum of the parts is greater than the individual.
I think for the first time you hear humility in his voice, because it always used to be me, 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 me.
Yes. And that, but that's who Chad was, and I think that's why people tolerated him, because he was a showman. You know, I don't think anybody ever really thought that Chad was a jerk about things. He was just sort of a flamboyant guy. I mean, that's why he's got the 3 million Twitter followers, as he mentioned, and that's why, you know, he did the ESPN Sports Center commercials, and, you know, and that's why, you know, and Bill Belichick himself loved Chad. We know that. That's why he came to New England. He had great respect for his ability. And it was clear as the season progressed here that we all learned Chad didn't have as much left in the tank as we had hoped. But he's taken it well as you can reasonably expect a true superstar in the game to take it. So I think that interview today said a lot to me.
I think the quote that kind of describes it all, when he said, I don't remember exactly, but essentially said, if I was unhappy, I would have complained like I used to,
right?
But not here.
And he's absolutely 110% correct about that. You could definitely have seen that. If he was unhappy, you could have seen him spouting off. And I think that was the great worry. That was the great worry about Chad Ochocinco when you get him before the season started. Oh, he's going to create a stink. Why are we doing this? We just got rid of Randy Moss. Why are we doing this? And then you bring him Albert Haynesworth, too, and it's like, oh, my God, what are we doing here? And, of course, you notice now who's gone and who's still here. So that should tell you something about those two individuals and how they capitulated, how they followed the Patriot way, how they fell into line around here. Chad wanted it. Albert did not.
Which is why I think, call me crazy, people are probably going to kill me on this one. I think Chad will be back next year. You can mark it down for me. I think because of what he did this year to stay quiet, stay humble, practice hard, and not make it about him, he will be back next year.
Matt, I love you, brother, but he ain't got no shot. Zero. Zero shot, because they're going to go out and look for a receiver in the offseason. Now, I will give you this, that if they don't find somebody in the draft, they might keep him sort of on retainer, kind of like I think they might have actually done with Randy Moss at one time. And said, look, you know, if we need you, would you be willing to come back for the playoffs or late in the regular season? I think there was sort of a gentleman's agreement there that, you know, well, I'm retired, but if you need me, I'll be there for you. They might create some kind of an arrangement like that with Chad, but I think that they need a definite upgrade. I think they've got to go out and find somebody that can, you know, stretch the field a little bit. I think we've seen, you know, what Victor Cruz has meant to the New York Giants when it comes to being able to stretch the field, and that's why he had such an unbelievable year in his own right. I just think the Patriots will probably do that, and if they're able to find someone to fill that role, Chad's the guy that's obviously going to be on the outside looking in. I might be wrong. I'll hold you to that. We'll discuss that at another time. But I'm not sure that that happens. Okay. Let me get a couple of emails in here. Webradio@patriots.com is our email address, as many of you already know. I mentioned earlier about, you know, we heard from Rob Gronkowski. Boot is off. Notice that there was and this got, I think, blogged by more than a few people over the course of the last couple of hours, but there was a little exchange between Gronk and Maria Menounos, who is a New Englander. She hosts the TV show Extra. And she was wearing a Patriots jersey. Menounos told Gronk that she had a wager that was going to require her to wear a Giants bikini if the Giants won. Gronk said that it was nice to know there could be a positive if the Patriots lost. Yeah. And then I get Higgins and Hopkins, and he sends me this email. He goes, can I get a Yo Soy MVP? Hey, if the dude is healthy, if he's ready to play, if you know, there are a few limitations for him, I think your early leader in the clubhouse for MVP could certainly be Rob Gronkowski. Could be. All right, let's see. Here we go. Mentioned we had Jordan in Athens earlier. He said, I think you're right in talking about the rematch idea, maybe not in the sense of Super Bowl 42, but Week 9 this year. Things have changed, but historically a team that loses matchup number one wins matchup number two. Do you think there are serious X's and O's that the Pats can exploit for that matchup, or is this a new slate? I think one of the things that they look at, in all honesty, has to do with being over the middle, how the Giants linebackers, I'm not entirely certain, are great in coverage. I think they'll look to exploit that a little bit more than they did the first time around. Keep in mind, you know, the Patriots also were without a few players the first time around. So I think that's one area they'll look at. I wouldn't be at all surprised to see Tom go over the top again. I just don't know that Matthew Slater will be the intended target like he was against Baltimore. But I said this at the start of the program, and this is what I really believe strongest, that I think both teams are going to try to run the ball. I'm not sure either team's defense is really going to be geared up for that. I think the Patriots were in the first game, and I think they realized they did a good job at that, so I think that might be part of, you know, New England's defensive game plan. I'm not sure that the Giants are too worried about the Patriots running game.
And so that day on, if I was going somewhere, I was running.
Thank you. Thank you. There are some great one-liners in that movie, by the way. Thank you, Forrest. Thank you, Forrest. Run, Forrest! But I do believe that the Giants probably less respect the Patriots running game than the Patriots respect the Giants running game. And it would not shock me to see that particular aspect of the Giants defense exploited in some form or fashion. He also says, Jordan, there's no debate. The Super Bowl is the biggest sporting event in the USA. My measuring stick is this. Would people who don't watch the NBA, NHL, Major League Baseball watch their finales anyway? Or would people celebrate those finales with a party? No wonder that the Super Bowl is considered an unofficial holiday. People who couldn't tell the difference between a running back and a ref still watch the Super Bowl and have parties centered around it. The Super Bowl without question. That's what I was getting at. That's why I was looking for those comments. That's why I personally believe the Super Bowl is number one. Joe in New Hampshire, do you think Ridley will be active for the Super Bowl? That's the other bit of news that we're going to try to pass along today that we had. In addition to Sebastian Vollmer, the news that we have that he is expected to play on Sunday. He's been out for, he missed the last seven games. Ridley also, the report is that Ridley is also going to be able to play. Now, of course, the big key is who are the guys that are going to be inactive? And a lot of that will depend on what the Patriots have set up really as the game plan for the Giants. If they are going to be a team that's going to look to run the ball a little bit, as I suggested they might, then you have to expect Stephen Ridley's going to play. So not only will he be active, I think he probably gets some carries. Higgins and Hopkinson. Our problems are they have giant receivers. Eli can just toss it up high, and their guys use incredible leap and pull it down. How do you defend against height? All right, this is where, actually, I'm going to go against what I said earlier, and the one huge nitpick that I've had, I can't believe I've gone an entire Tuesday, and we've got 15 minutes on the program, and I haven't mentioned one nitpick on a Tuesday. Here it is! The one nitpick I've had all year is the fact that the Patriots defenders in the corners have played the receivers too soft. They've given them too much space. They have not defended. And maybe it's because they realize their own, I don't know, athletic deficiencies in coverage, but they've given opposing receivers way too much cushion. But in this game, I think you're going to have to give them some cushion. Because I think that's how a shorter guy and a less athletic guy can defend a more active and a taller receiver. By giving him a little cushion, you're gambling. There's no question you're gambling. But you have to be able to get a read from the quarterback and giving your cushion. And then when the receiver makes his break, you've got to be able to break on the ball. It is a calculated gamble. And I think that's the style of defense, though, that the Patriots corners especially have played largely this entire year, much to our collective chagrin. But I think that's how you do it. Because if you body up against them, you man on them, you know, you play them tight, you bump and run them, they're just kind of, they're going to reach over you and take it, as you already suggested. It's a physical mismatch.
And Eli Manning, famous for those throws.
Sure he is.
He's had one in probably every game this season where he doesn't have a plan, he just hucks it up, somebody goes and gets it.
So I do believe that even though it'll probably cause us all to pull our hair out collectively on Sunday, you're going to see the Patriots defenders give cushion to the Giants receivers, and they're going to catch some balls over the middle. It's just going to happen. What they're going to guard against is, I said, the 50, 40, 50, 60-yard plus plays that Victor Cruz has certainly made famous, that Hakeem Nicks can certainly do to you, and yes, even Mario Manningham. All three of those guys are capable. I think you'll see the Patriots defenders keep those guys in front. He also says, we must protect Tom and give him time to throw. They know we'll throw in under 3 seconds and we'll play tight and close, meaning we can do more deep damage if we're given time. Agreed on both counts. Thanks, Higgins. Let's see what else we have here. This one comes from Wally in Fort Lauderdale. If I were to guess where the game could be lost, I think it would be on turnovers, punt returns especially. Very dangerous when fumbles are recovered deep in your own territory by the opposing team. Yes, that's what happened to the Giants. The 49ers against the Giants a little over a week ago. I can't help but seeing Woodhead coming out for a return and being rocked by a 260-pounder, which in turn pops the ball loose. Interceptions will not be the Achilles heel in this game, although the chance is there. What will lose the game for New York is pressure on Eli, which will unnerve him. A few sacks will rattle him. He'll make bad decisions for fear of being pummeled. Well, that could happen, but I would tell you he got rocked pretty good against the Niners. I mean, a couple of great shots of him with his helmet crooked and his chin strap up in his face and grass, turf in his face mask. You know, he got sacked 6 times, and he's wobbling around back there, and he still won a game. I had a lot of respect for Eli, a lot of respect for Eli after that pummeling that he took. It's going to take more than that. It's going to take more than just hitting Eli. It's going to take the Patriots' defense. Somebody has got to step up and make a big play. This is one of the things that the Patriots' defense has done better during the last half of the season, and that is the ability to step up and make a play, make a stop, make a pick, make a big tackle, get a team out and off of the field on third and long. And that, by that I mean like third and six plus. If you're able to do that and get the ball back in the hands of Brady in the offense, then I think you're in good shape. But, you know, the Patriots' defense can't give up, you know, third and 15s. Like they have, that, you know, that's maddened us all season long. Sean says, get the Giants off the field on third downs. That's exactly it. Seems to be a sort of a trend here. I think most people realize, yeah, the defense has to make stops, and not just in the red zone. Certainly, if the Giants get into the red zone, then you need to think field goal rather than touchdown. I think everybody realizes that, and that's one of the things that the Pats defense has done better. But you got to make stops in the middle of the field, and you got to make stops on the opposing side of the field. Can't all be in your own end of the field, you know, where a field goal becomes a statistical possibility. Got to have playmakers, guys that step up and can tip it away. You got to have the Sterling Moores of the world step up and make plays in other parts of the field rather than just the end zone. And that play could go down as the key moment this Patriots season, because without that, the Patriots don't beat Baltimore, and they're not playing this Sunday. Toussaint says, Rook, I've read that Vollmer and Ridley will play. I wanted to know if they thought they would have a decent impact on the game. Yes, Vollmer and Ridley are expected to both play. They are expected to both be available, as we've said throughout the program. Would they have a decent impact? They could, especially if, A, the Patriots do like I think they might, and they might run the ball a little bit more than we all expect, sort of to keep control of matters. And maybe, yes, just a little bit to kind of keep the ball out of the hands of Eli Manning and the Giants offense. Funny how we always say that about opposing teams trying to do that to the Patriots. I think the Patriots could end up trying to do that a bit to the Giants, to be honest with you. And then Vollmer, he's allegedly going to be part of the mix, according to Dante Scarnecchia today.
I think his impact is vastly overrated.
Personally. Well, I don't know how. I said this last
Who?
Week.
Vollmer or Ridley?
Vollmer.
He's a very good player, but you can't imagine they're going to say, okay, you've missed seven games, we're going to throw you into
that's exactly
fire
right.
Against one of the best.
Well, wait a second. But they're not even talking about starting him. They're saying he's going to be able to play, which helps get sold, and then he'll play a third tight end, and that opens up a whole additional Mike Vrabel-type can of worms. He was a tight end in high school.
Right.
I mean, in college, and before they moved him.
It will help, but it won't be for the long run. He'll help in a few plays here and there.
That's all that matters, though.
But that's all they really need. That's exactly right.
People are taking the Vollmer thing as Skarnecki is saying he'll play means
he's not going to start.
No, I don't think people think he's going to start. I think it just adds another dimension to the Patriots' offensive line, more depth, which is their strength, huge strength. It just opens up more possibilities to move Solder around a little bit, I think. I think it's a good thing. Ridley. Now, Ridley's the one I don't think may not have any impact. What should be the MVP? Ridley, but.
Well, you know what? He gets 100 yards rushing. I don't know that he does.
No, but you're right. I think Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, and Danny Woodhead are getting no respect in this game.
Right.
None.
And they're not getting it from the Giants, especially.
It's foolish.
That's why I think that they could end up being big keys to the Patriots' success. No question. Canadian Mike in Florida says, great show, John. There's only one line on the game we need to know in order to predict a winner. If we knew the line on pressure to the quarterback, most importantly Tom Brady, hurries, knockdown, sacks, we could easily predict the winner. That's the most important line, even more important than giveaways. If we could minimize the numbers to maybe five or six hurries, maybe two or three knockdowns, maybe one or two sacks, I like our chances. Anything more than that, we have some problems. Having said that, I think Tom and the Pats have done a great job getting the ball out of his hands quickly. Look for the run game. Play action will be huge, especially if Gronk plays well. I couldn't agree more. I definitely think play action and the run game are going to be a huge part of this. Howard in Connecticut has to chime in with his nitpick. We haven't had many of those today, but that's good. Howard knows the format. Says, John, my nitpick for Tuesday is that there was no real football this past Sunday. The Pro Bowl is not real. What I want to see. No turnovers by the Pats. Multiple by the Giants. Solid running game for the Pats, keeping Manning and his core receivers off the field. Check, check. But because of the running game, play action that opens up the passing game. A solid balanced O, slight overweight to the rushing game. Check again. What I think we will see. Think Super Bowl against Carolina. Heavyweight brawl, each team playing conservatively on O, very tough on D in the first half, then make adjustments at half, and the track meet that ensues for the second half. Last O to hold on to the ball, possibly wins the game with a winning field goal. I think Howard climbed inside my brain. I think he did. I know it's very hard to get in here, Howard, but I think somehow you cracked my you know dense dome and you read my thoughts because that's exactly what I'm thinking today.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Any problem with that, Pete?
No, not at all. Getting inside your head?
Getting inside my head, but I think Howard nailed it.
Yeah, he did.
I think he nailed it.
I think he did. It's just there's so much of this game, and it's not besides Deion Sanders embarrassing himself again as usual today. Even though he did pick the Patriots to win the whole thing about a month ago, which scares me.
I did like his interview with Ocho though, which we played.
That was fine. The rest of it going up and saying, "What about this Patriots horrible secondary?" Now we asked Bill the question. He said, "What about the deep?" He didn't say horrible to Bill's face because he's got no balls to do that. But when he went to all the Giant players, he talked about what a horrible defense.
Because
what a horrible defense.
He's trying to goad them into saying something. Deion is trying to be the show like he always was on the field.
He doesn't get it because, again, he's lazy and doesn't do enough research. The Indianapolis Colts, when they went to the Super Bowl, John, remember, against the Bears, they had the 25th or 26th or 27th ranked defense that year, again, net yardage, but still, that's what it was. And they turned it on. They were pretty good in the playoffs, remember, in their two playoff games and then pretty good in the Super Bowl holding the Bears with Rex Grossman, but, I mean, still pretty good defensive game. It's very similar to what's happening here. I don't understand how the Patriots defense right now is not getting any respect. They're not getting as much as they deserve because that Patriot front seven, I'm telling you, is going to put as much pressure on Eli as people think the Giants can do to the Patriots. I will take my chances with our guys we got now. They were getting three-man pass rush on Flacco and getting to him early on in that game. And this is going to be a completely different type of game. It's going to be different. You know what the third down conversion rate was with the Giants back in November? And I know they didn't have Nixon, they didn't have Bradshaw. Right. I understand that.
Right.
29%. Brady threw for 342 yards in that game, and if they didn't fumble on a 10-yard line, and Sergio Brown doesn't get that pass interference call, they put the ball in the one. Patriots win that game. Nobody's, again, just like the Baltimore game, these idiots are bringing up 2007 and not what happened, more
earlier
so what happened
year.
Earlier
right.
this year, even though one has nothing to do with the other. And I would say the same thing if the Patriots won that game, just as I said that the Patriots beat Baltimore last year. Really didn't have a whole heck of a lot
of impact, but it still had three guys who played in that game that didn't play in 2009. It's just, it's aggravating.
Correct.
It's aggravating.
You know what? That's all right. Let them, it's okay. I realize, I agree with you. It is a little aggravating, but you know what? That's fine. We all know the talk is cheap.
They're trying so hard to come up with ways.
They're trying to manufacture stories. Manufacture emotion, and that's what, you know, those guys do all, most of the time. That's what they do.
No, I think a lot of it's laziness, to be honest with you. Laziness. It's cheap headlines, cheap little one-liners.
I don't know if it's laziness, Pete, I think it's sensational.
I think Deion Sanders is lazy as an analyst. I think Marshall Faulk may not be lazy. I just think he holds prejudices.
I would agree with Faulk in terms of laziness, and I would agree with Faulk in his, you know, prejudice.
I think Shannon Sharpe is lazy. You know, I think there are other guys on ESPN and, that are lazy when they, you know, Shannon Sharpe is as predictable as it comes. He played for Baltimore. He played for Denver. Those are the two teams he picked. You know, Cowher occasionally does that with Pittsburgh. He gets a little carried away sometimes, too. I really don't think these guys, they may say they watch film, they may watch the previous week's film. I don't think they look deep enough inside all the numbers. I really don't. A lot of them don't do it. And that's why they're wrong all the time.
Well, they don't look inside the numbers because they don't feel like they have to. Yeah. They're going to rely on their quote-unquote expertise as a player or coach. And one of the things I've said throughout the course of this year is the NFL network analysts, by and large, forget about it.
I agree.
They're useless.
I agree. I agree totally.
Less so than ESPN, although the ESPN, you know, analysts are also got some knuckleheads in there that don't do their homework. It, with one exception, I think Mike Mayock does his homework because he's a guy that was a little used, not often thought of defensive back in the league who had to study and had to do his homework in order to survive in the league. And you can tell that in his preparation for games today.
Well, ESPN's, what they'd love to do is have people, you know, throw stupid stuff and see what sticks against the wall. And then guys, a guy, like I said, just an example, a Cordell Stewart or a Rob Parker who goes out of his way to make an ass out of himself on a daily basis. Really? But they don't have a Teddy Bruschi there, which they should, countering him. Instead of having nitwit Skip Bayless there, let Rob Parker say that crap to Teddy Bruschi. And let Rob Parker come down to this locker room or come down, go to Media Day and say all that crap he's been spewing for the last 2 months. Say it to their face. Go say that to their face. I want to see the reaction. No balls.
That won't happen.
I challenge him to come on this show. He won't come on.
Won't happen.
Won't come on.
Todd in Nova Scotia. Can't wait for Sunday. My thoughts of the game, Giants pass rush isn't going to be as relevant as it was in 07 because Brady doesn't throw the long ball like we did back then. So the pass rush doesn't have time to get there. To quote the Ravens, we are going to dink and dunk them to death. On the other side of the ball, we're going to give up big plays, but if we can make them kick field goals, force the Bayou Frankenstein snot-nosed little brother into making mistakes in the red zone. He says, then Pats 31, Giants 21. And then Gene in Daytona. I was wondering if we were going to hear from our friend Gene. Nate Solder averaged 16 yards a catch at tight end in his freshman year at Colorado, had 62 catches in high school, 14 yards a catch. Nate has been eligible 121 times this year for the Pats, but not thrown two once. We know Nate can catch a ball because in preseason, Belichick sent Nate out there to catch a punt. Nate made the catch, winning the team a day off. So do you think that we might see a DB trying to tackle this 320-pound, 6'8 tight end? We could see it. We could see him being thrown two in the end zone.
And Seabass coming back to play right tackle for a few plays.
We could see
that. I think it's a possibility.
Listen, if you see Solder line up at tight end and Seabass at tackle in a red zone situation, watch out.
Yep, absolutely. No question. And we've seen it before. And I think like 99.9% of the time that play works for the Patriots. It's usually in a goal line situation. But Vrabel's got, 5 touchdowns in his career?
Right, right.
Catching the ball. So right. Wouldn't that be something if Solder catches a touchdown pass?
Here's one from Harry in Vegas. Ocho Cinco, 35-1 to catch the first touchdown pass in the Super Bowl. What chance do you think there is of this happening? I think the place would go bonkers.
I'd have to wait until 3:30 on Sunday to see if he's even active.
That's right.
I mean, that's the first thing I'd do.
Yeah,
so I wouldn't bet anything until
3
o'clock on Sunday.
But you know, those odds will come way down though if he's active.
Yeah,
right.
I want.
Do you think Bill activates him?
I don't know. It's so. And he was on with me Thursday.
I know. I don't see
and
it happening.
And besides revealing the ultimate story, which he's not going to wear the red hoodie to me first, by the way, I got no credit across the country. But
PFW gave you credit, though, don't
PFW
worry.
Did, yeah. Well, I love those guys. But I don't know. I tried to get into it with Ocho, and he's saying all the right things. You know, it's just, I don't know. It's the biggest enigma around this team, John, I think, in a long time. It's, even if he is active, you got to think Edelman's going to get most of the reps at that number five spot. I don't see it. I'm trying hard, trying to come up with something. I just, I'm not going to kid myself. I'm not going to be foolish about it. I don't think he has any impact on this game. I really don't. But if he's active and you stick him out there, John, you can't ignore him.
Right.
You can't just like leave him alone.
Right.
I don't know if he's going to play. I really don't. Do you? What do you think? Do you think he's going to play?
No.
Especially now that Ridley's going to play.
No.
And that Vollmer's going to play. That I don't think he's going to play. I'm still hedging my bet here about it, but I'm with you. My gut feeling tells me he's not going to play.
I don't think so either. I would like to see it. I think it would be great theater. I'd love to see it. I think we'd all be thrilled if he caught a pass or a touchdown pass. I don't see it. It's a numbers game.
No, you've heard the conspiracy theories this year. Oh, saving him for the Super Bowl. I get a lot of listeners and callers. I don't think Bill works that way. You know, I don't. I mean, anything's possible, I guess. I am not getting my hopes up at all that 85 is going to even be activated for this game.
Right.
So, we'll see.
All right, I'll give the final word here to John in South Carolina. He says, we don't need to hit Eli. We need to confuse him. Disguise our reads. Eli is not Peyton Manning. He cannot make reads like his brother. You beat Eli by making him think too much. You can beat him down all day long as he knows where to put the ball. He's good. However, if he starts questioning where he needs to go with the ball, he's toast. It's a chess game, not the beatdown game. All right, John, make him think. All right, Pete Shepard. Pete Shepard Show is coming up next. We're back here, same patch time, same patch channel tomorrow as we continue with our Super Bowl coverage. Some Giants.com reporters check in with us in the playbook tomorrow as we're going to look at the opposition and see if we can't, you know, glean something out of it. Plus the latest from Indianapolis as well, right here, Patriots.com Radio. None will level.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
Pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program.
Ron Jaworski,
Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the Playbook.
Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the Playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2.